Now, this is something I really want to talk about to be sure that everyone is cautious and stays level-headed at all times. Now, for context, I lived in the middle of nowhere in Canada. It was an old town that had quite a few abandoned buildings due to absence of residents. Me and many friends were tired of the lack of entertainment options for us, so what we did was explore these abandoned buildings. Prior to the experience I'm about to talk about, we never had anything too crazy happen to us. Occasionally, we'd see a small bit of blood-like liquid, and we did see a pentagram on the ground from someone who went to a house previously, but nothing too bad. Till the last time I had gone exploring. When I was younger, I used to go to a daycare that was part of a mental hospital, which is kind of a weird combination, I know. But it closed down to a lack of patients and lack of children at the daycare. I decided to go back there with my friends a few years ago. For context, I was 15 when this happened, and most of my friends were the same age. When we did get there, it was rather cliche. There was fog, and it was rather dark, and there was a light drizzle of rain. We went to the main gate, which was padlocked shut. We decided to help each other hop over it and made a ton of noise. We were laughing and giggling the whole time, unsuspecting of what was to come. We looked around the small play place and park area with the flashlights that we had on our person. Even with our somewhat powerful flashlights, our visibility was rather limited. We decided to enter the decaying building. Glass and dirt crunched under our feet as we stepped into the daycare section of the complex. There were still old Legos and wood chips from the previous furniture, old torn dolls and toys thrown about. The further we walked around the daycare section, we naturally became more and more silent, till all we could hear was the crunch of the dirt under our feet. I found some crayons in a plastic container in the corner of the room, and I walked over to pick them up, when all of a sudden we heard a loud crash coming from behind a metal door, leading to the psych ward part of the building. My friends and I all looked at each other. As a whole, we were in a group of five. Most of them were very bold and cocky. We all looked at each other when my friend Brian suggested that we go to look and see where the sound came from. Personally, I was not too fond of that idea, but with my group of friends, there was no way anyone was going to decline such a thing. We all stacked up to the door and opened it. It was rusted to the floor and we heaved to get it open. As we walked in, the metallic smells and musk became stronger. With a hint of something else, which I couldn't put my finger on at that moment, we walked in. Our flashlights pointed in every direction with Brian leading the group. The hallways were tight, and to the left and to the right were the occasional metal doorway, some with doors open. I felt slightly claustrophobic, and it felt a little hard to breathe. As we continued, Brian lit his flashlight into a room. We all stopped walking as Brian slowly entered. "What is it?" I asked him. "I thought I saw someone here, but it seems fine now." To be honest, I thought he was just messing with us to increase our anxiety, but looking back, I think he was being completely honest. He backed out of the room and we continued walking deeper into the psych ward, when another friend swiftly told us to stop. We came to a halt and all listened. In the distance ahead of us, we heard the subtle pitter-patter of footsteps echo through the hallway. We all looked at each other, fear in each of our eyes. Brian continued walking towards the sounds. We'd consider turning back for a second without Brian, wondering if some ghost or someone was in the building, but we couldn't do that to him. The closer we got, the more I felt like I was being watched. When finally, we entered a room on the right which had the smell of rotting meat. In front of us was a dead deer. Its innards were spilled all over the floor, staining the concrete. A friend of mine had a very weak stomach and vomited all over the floor. That's when we heard whispering from somewhere. Brian lit his flashlight to the corner of the room, where a man with short hair was standing with his head down. He wore a bright green t-shirt stained with what I assume was blood, and torn beige pants. He did not have any socks on and his feet seemed damaged. He was twitching sporadically and continued to mumble even after we saw him. We stared at him for a solid 30 seconds before he made his first true movement. He looked up at us with a haunting grin that sent shivers down our spine. "You guys here for the feast?" he asked. This kicked us over the edge, and we bolted out of that room all the way back to the daycare center. The door was still open and we decided to try and slam it shut, but the rust and pure weight of the door almost kept it open. It actually took three of us pulling with all of our strength to close it. and just before we did, I could still see the silhouette of the man watching us, with his white teeth being the only other human feature I could see. We sat behind the metal door, catching our breath for a second, all looking at each other for confirmation that we all saw the same thing. After a little bit of labored breathing from each of us, we heard a light tapping on the door. That's when we decided that it was time to leave. We booked it out of the vicinity completely and ran home. A year after we visited that spot, police went back to do a routine search of the area and found the man. It was stated that he used to go to the psych ward before it was closed down. He escaped the facility he was transferred to and lived off the wildlife around the complex. When the cops brought him in, he had a series of diseases and sicknesses from eating raw meat. His mental condition was much worse than before. There were future rumors that he did kill someone in the forest while searching for food once, but nothing has been confirmed. In the end, guys, be careful, especially in dangerous areas like abandoned buildings. The house I live in is only a couple hundred meters away from a small church in a suburb. Although I was brought up as a Christian, I was never really that religious, and I only went to said church whenever my parents took me as a kid. My dad died when I was a teenager, and we stopped going as a family altogether. After that, I only went whenever my friends asked me to tag along. Now I'm 21, and I only pass by the church whenever I have to go into the city, because there's a dirt road beside it that leads to the parking lot behind, adjacent to a major road, where it was easy to get on a bus to work. It was closer than the village gate in the opposite direction, and I only had to ride one bus from there. I'm not an easily scared man, nor have I previously experienced lasting trauma after being scared. And I'm here to tell you that what I saw beside that church 3 months ago still haunts me to my core. A storm was announced to hit earlier that week, but leaving for work that early Thursday morning, the skies were clear. Not a single cloud to cover the starry sky, so I didn't bring an umbrella. I climbed over the parking lot gate because it was chained shut until 6 for the first mass. The guard at the outpost didn't mind because the church staff knew my family pretty well. I work at a hotel as a line cook, and it's a very demanding job. I have to leave home before the sunrise, and most days I work long after it has set. The only time I get to see the sun is if I'm assigned to a station at the buffet, where we have a view to the poolside. It was an average overwork and underpaid kind of day for me. I wasn't assigned at the buffet line. I stayed in the kitchen where there weren't any windows, so I was surprised to see the flooded streets when I clocked out. Apparently it had been raining heavily all afternoon, and it subsided around sunset. It was around 8 in the evening when I left the hotel, and in my country, flooded streets meant standstill traffic for at least a couple of hours. This wasn't that uncommon. I had dealt with similar situations before. It also meant I could sleep on the bus, so it wasn't that upsetting. Fast forward to around midnight, and it's pouring out again. I'm not too far off from the church parking lot, so I decide to get off the bus and start walking, because it had not budged for the last 10 minutes. I put my phone and wallet in my waterproof backpack, which also contained a spare shirt, my house key, and my knife set. I didn't mind getting wet. Around this time, the parking lot gate was already chained shut, but I climbed over it like I usually do. It was flooded knee-deep in the parking lot, and there was no security guard at the outpost. I figured he retreated into the church. It was really dark, but I focused on the small amount of light coming from the houses in the distance. They really only looked like dots from that far. I trudged my way through the open parking lot that could have passed as a kiddie pool when I hear this strange sloshing at the far corner to my left. Due to the heavy rain, I couldn't clearly make out what was there, but I knew that I wasn't alone. All the lights to the lot were shut, and the only things to guide me were the few lights of the houses far ahead, and my memory of the area's landscape. It's a straight shot from a dirt road, so I didn't have to worry about a light source. The sound of all the falling raindrops accumulated into a dull static noise, so it was easy for me to hear that there was something going on in that corner. I could see the shape of a person who seemed to be sitting down, so I could only see from the waist up. As I got closer and my eyes better adjusted to the dark, I could tell that it was a woman because of her long hair and curvy outline. She was flailing her arms and splashing the water around, grunting as she pounded her fists into the water. She was about 2 cars lengths away, so I wasn't that concerned about it. I've dealt with crazy people before. I glanced over a few times as I passed her, and then I got to the dirt road. Quite unnerving. She was out of my line of sight at this point, and the mud made it hard to walk. Water was only ankle deep now, but I kept having to jerk my foot free after each step because my shoes would sink in the mud. A small splash made me look over my shoulder, and in the darkness of that dirt road, the woman was splayed out face first in the shallow water. I froze, thinking whether or not I should help her. I truly hated the thought of being the guy who let someone drown in water 6 inches deep. She was about 10 steps away from me, and before I could decide what to do, she started to move. It was too dark to see any details, but her outline was distinguishable enough for me to see that she was looking up at me. She slowly got on her hands and feet like she was about to stand, but her hands lingered on the ground. I was already scared pale at this point. My legs didn't work, and I thought of reaching out for my knives, but I was afraid to move. And then she starts crawling toward me on her hands and feet. This sent a jolt through me, and all of a sudden I'm sprinting toward my house. I could hear the splashes behind me along with her coarse breathing, almost like she was coughing. My eyes started filling with tears, and the rain against my face made the light in the distant houses blurry, but I knew that at that point I was running for my life. I couldn't tell if she was catching up, but I didn't have it in me to look back. I heard her yell in a voice so rough it resembled a pig squeal. Short, sharp, and loud. A wordless shout of anger. I believe that was the fastest I ever ran in my life. At this point, I couldn't hear anything but the rain. Deafening, unrelenting, and violent. My house was close. I sped by a few houses with their dim porch lights, and I could tell that I was running on asphalt. I didn't know when it happened, but apparently I lost my shoes back at the dirt road. One last bend and I was at my doorstep finally. I forcefully tore my backpack zipper open and I fumbled around the inside for the key, frantically looking around to see if she was still chasing me. I got in the house and slammed the door shut and collapsed. I don't recall the rest of that night, but when I woke up the next morning in my bed, my older brother filled me in. He was awake when I got home that night and went to the front door when the noise alerted him. He said I was on my knees, leaning against the door, and quietly sobbing to myself. He woke my mom and they were trying to console me, but I wouldn't talk. They tried to ask me questions, but I would just shake my head. They got me into some dry clothes and led me to my bed. Over breakfast, I explained what happened, and my mom said she'd notify the village guards. I could tell that they were concerned for my safety, but they didn't understand the fear I felt. My brother even joked about it. I didn't go to work that day. In fact, I took the rest of the week off because I caught a fever. The guards did a minor investigation and even increased patrol for a while, but they didn't find anything except for my shoes in the parking lot. I can't walk alone anymore without glancing over my shoulder every 5 seconds. Sudden loud noises make my heart jump, and I can't even stand the sound of rain. I've been getting better though. I can sleep with the lights off now. I just wish I would stop seeing the crawling woman's shape, and I start drifting off to sleep. I wish I could tell you more about her, I honestly do. Because it's one thing to be afraid of something, but when you lack the understanding of what you fear, your mind fills in the blanks with terrifying detail. I was back home for the summer for the first time in a year after starting uni. Our home was, and still is, just outside of a small town with forests all around. There was also a small man-made lake, which was diverged from a river that ran for miles through the forest and ramified into a few streams east of the lake. Near my home, there was a small grassy path that led to the river following a stream. It was a long walk, but one I used to go on often as a child. I knew the forest there quite well, and I knew where I could cut through the dense trees to meet the stream. The walk that I would go on always led me off the path, which turned northwest slowly, so away from the stream, and then took a sharp turn to the west after a few miles walk, at which point the stream was hidden quite deep into the forest. I'd continue to walk north and follow the stream through the forest to get to the river, then follow the river west to get to the lake. It's honestly pretty easy to get lost in this forest, because the terrain isn't just a slope down to the water. It goes up and down and you end up completely surrounded by trees. But I've spent many days wandering around there, alone or even with my dad, over the span of 18 years, and I never saw anyone else in that forest. I went there twice this summer, both times alone. The first time I left in the morning, I walked along the path away from the stream to the sharp bend, then I cut back into the forest. I reached the stream after an hour or so. As I was running my hands in the water, I heard a bell from far away, coming from the north. Something was making a bell ring fervently and periodically, which I found strange. I listened, well, wondered if it was a lost hunting dog, and I started moving towards the sound. But I soon realized it couldn't have been an animal. I could tell the bell was too heavy because of how clear the sound was to be on a collar. I kept moving and the bell was moving away from me, and it stopped completely after 5 minutes. The stream also wasn't big enough or strong enough to carry a bell that could have been enclosed in a tent or something, and the river was too far still. I thought of everything, but nothing explained the sound, apart from one obvious thing which I just didn't feel comfortable with for some reason. I knew it had to have been a person, but I stopped thinking about it and I just walked on normally. Until I found a badger, a bloomin' dead one, carefully decapitated. It had obviously been done with a knife. It was fairly fresh. The body was still limp and there wasn't too much smell coming from it. The wound was full of maggots, but I knew that was something that happened soon after exposure. The sound of the bell had been following the stream, so had I. So the badger was put there, maybe killed there, at least decapitated, while I was walking that way, I suppose. I don't know, really. But nothing else happened that day. 1 week later, I went back for the second time that summer and the last time ever. I left home at around 6 p.m., and I made it to the stream, then walked to the river in an hour. Then I decided to go back the way I came because it was getting late and it was raining quite heavily. The sun set at around 9 p.m. I was walking as fast as I could, with the sound of the rain in the trees being really surreal and loud. I was somewhat trotting with my head down for a while, through the clearest and most open part of the forest, when I bumped into something heavy. The smell was sickly. It was the decomposing body of the badger, with his head strung to the front of his paws, and it was tied up, just swinging from a tree. It was this putrid bag of stench, wet and dripping green liquid. I started gagging. I had some sort of mucus-textured fluid in my hair. It was just repulsive. At first, I just stared at it. Then I started fidgeting violently because I felt like I was drenched in its juices. I was soaking from the rain. My senses became confused. It felt like a bucket of ice-cold water had been thrown over me when I realized that I walked the same way to get to the river, so someone had strung up the body after I passed it on the way there. Someone knew that I would see it. So was someone watching me and running around the forest? Were the faint sounds of branches breaking around me not animals? I looked around and started jogging. I was half running, half walking away from the stream, back towards the path for a while, when I heard the bell again. I proceeded to call my dad while running. I told him to meet me on the path where it sharply turns west. It was the closest part of the path to me, and I told him to go as fast as he could and that someone was in the forest. I can't explain the feeling I had. It was just like I shit out my intestines and stomach. I literally felt the hairs on my neck raise despite being soaked. It was dark and I jogged as fast as I could. I was panicking because the path was still a bit far away, just too far to feel safe. It was still raining. Every single sound was muffled. I felt like everything was further away than ever before. The bell went on for way longer than last time, on and off, and I felt like it was surrounding me at one point. The fear combined with my compromised hearing and the fact that I couldn't flip and breathe properly was making me slightly lose my sense of direction. I knew I was automatically heading southwest, but I wasn't really sure what I was even doing. I was breathing like a damn horse, coughing my lungs up, kind of crying out loud, like a toddler does, tripping over leaves and twigs like an idiot. But I stayed on the phone with my mom, who was on her way with my dad. I kept hearing sounds, but I wasn't sure what they were. My mom was also screaming on the phone at the same time that they were on the path and that I needed to run fast. I was as terrified as you could imagine, so I went into survival mode. I was doing the half-running, half-speed-walking thing again because I was out of breath. But then I heard branches break and clear footsteps for the first time from down in the forest and the bell ringing louder. I didn't want to, but I looked over my shoulder. That's when I saw what was in the forest with me. A tall figure creeping in my direction at the very end of the clearing, ringing this bell slowly in front of his stomach. I could tell he was staring straight at me. Now, I don't know if I had a hidden secret sprinting ability or instinctual adrenaline-induced superhuman powers, but when I tell you I ran for my life, I didn't look back once. I screamed as much as I could. I lied even. I'm on the phone with the police. They're on the path. Dad, I can see you. I'm here. I wanted to yell, Dad, please, where are you? But I kept that part to myself. I felt like something awful was going to happen, and I felt like the man was right behind me. I just kept telling myself to not look back. I was gasping and wheezing and crying so hard and screaming for my dad. I even dropped my bag and only realized I didn't have it anymore when I was in the car. I felt like my phone was my only way home. Things no longer felt real. It was like my legs were moving by themselves. I didn't know if the man was still following me. I could only hear my heart beating in my ears and the bell. I finally heard my dad shout my name and I knew he was coming my way, that he could see me because of the intonation of his voice. I pretty much lunged myself at him when we got to each other, and my dad heard the bell too. My mom could hear it on the phone as she was waiting with the car ready to leave fast.